Hey everybody, this is Coach Sal here from the Sports Academy. Checking in, I hope everyone's well, hope everyone's been moving. I hope everybody bought the Poor Misunderstood Calorie. I just finished it for the third time last night. So I really love if people bought it and followed up with me, asked me some questions, or if nothing else, it makes you think about what it is you're doing, how you're eating, and why. It really is an eye-opener. It's one of the two best nutrition books I've ever read, and I think that encompasses, I'd say it's top five in the category of health and fitness and exercise. It just lays everything out for you in a simple manner. So I don't want to dwell on that. Today I want to get into this concept of functional training, which over time, like everything else that's been represented in the mainstream fitness media, has been kind of perverted. And let's replace, when you think function, I don't want you to think function, or when you hear function, I mean, I don't want you to think function, I want you to think purpose. So forget about what the function is of something, what is the purpose of something? And one of the great examples I use is the plank. This is going to be the next podcast about why the plank is useless for 99.9% of people. But the plank is frequently lumped in with functional movements. And first of all, it's not a movement. There's no movement. And what's the function? The function of the plank is solely to plank. There's no crossover. And when you ask what the purpose is of the plank, it kind of is the same answer. What's the purpose? And I'm going to go deeper into this. If you're telling me the purpose is to develop another phrase I hate, core strength, then you're laboring under a misconception. And we'll address that in the next podcast. But let's go back to something I mentioned in the calisthenics podcast. There's the eight elements, and I'm going to call them eight purposeful elements that should be incorporated into every workout. Squat, lunge, push, pull, bend, reach, rotate, and brace. Okay, those are the eight purposeful elements. You don't have to do multiple sets or emphasize each one of those eight elements in every one of your workouts. However, you should touch on at least one thing in every workout that covers your bases with those eight. And you know what? If you're in moderate and above fitness, you can accomplish checking the boxes on more than one of those. And the great example, and going back to the plank example, if you want to get a push and a brace, that's a push-up. Okay, so there, right there, you've hit two. If you want to do a pull and a brace, that could be a pull-up. It could be a ring horizontal pull-up. It could be any kind of pull where you're not supported by a piece of equipment. Even the old school dumbbell row, take away the bench to lean on and lean on your knee in a stride stance and do the row that way, you're doing a pull and you're doing a brace. Okay? How about reach? How about bend? How about lunge? Okay, well, any of my clients know we do a whole series of what I call mobility lunges, which necessitate that you keep the back leg straight and then do a variety of movements with your upper body. So the basic one, you do a lunge forward, back leg stays straight, front knee bends, obviously, as in a lunge, and you bend to touch the floor with both hands on either side of your foot. So right there, you've got a lunge, you have a bend, you have a reach, and you have a brace. So for my clients, that might be a light bulb moment. Why do I do those things? Why are they so big of a part of my sessions, especially warm up? Because right there, we've checked the box on four or five of the eight things you want to touch on, right? So it makes it more efficient. So let's go back to the whole concept of purpose versus function. Those movements, those eight purposeful elements, all translate into things that you need to be able to do, whether you're a recreational athlete or whether you're doing yard work, or regardless of your activity or your endeavor, all of those things you need. And you might say, if I'm a golfer, I don't need to squat. And I would disagree, because squatting is a supporting movement. It's a purposeful movement for other things that you do. Okay, same with lunging. you have to have balance in your physique, not in just the aesthetic side about how you look, but you need to have balance in your physique as far as your ability to move, right? Just because you swing righty doesn't mean you want to neglect everything lefty, because that ultimately will lead to technique issues, injury issues, fatigue injury issues, so on and so forth. So again, if you golf, you know, the obvious ones are brace, rotate, bend and reach, but you still need to be able to squat, lunge, push, pull, because those actions support the other actions and vice versa. These are all interactive elements, right? Squatting requires a brace element, not as much as certain other exercises, but it's still a brace, okay? You need to brace. Your bracing means you want to control your body. Any kind of control you're trying to exhibit with movement involves bracing. Again, I'm going to go more into it next podcast about why the plank is a waste of time, and use that as your example, as the brace and movement, okay? So with those eight purposeful elements, you could then say, well, what about the athlete? Okay, well, regardless of if it's resistance training / weightlifting or body weight exercise, which are both huge parts of what I do, you need to be proficient in a movement before you can A, externally load it, which is a fancy way of saying hold weights, right? External load is holding weights, or add speed, which is actually what it says. And now there is a spectrum of speed that pertains to all of these movements. Certain things obviously are easier to do, and you need to, again, progress through that range of easier to more difficult. And then once you've accomplished that, then you can go back and start being concerned with the speed at which you do these things. Because if you're competitive in anything, weekend warrior, skier, golfer, if your kids play sports, you need to perform movements as close as possible to the speed in which they're needed for competition. The better the speed, the more specific, the more carryover there is to your endeavor. Okay, so use your son or daughter. If you have them even hit off of a tee with a bat that is too heavy, that's going to ultimately work to slow down their swing, which will affect their performance negatively. Same thing, if it's too light, same thing. It's affecting it from a different standpoint, right? One is slowing you down. One is not giving you enough stimulus to practice the move at the appropriate speed. And that's a sweet spot there on either side of above or below the ideal weight of the implement that you use in a sport. There was research done on shot putters. Back in the days when the Soviets ruled the world, there was a Professor Bondarchuk, who was both a researcher and a track coach. And there's actually a Bondarchuk method. You could look it up. Bonderchuk, I believe. And he did research and he said the best predictor of performance in throwers was with the implement, was with the practice shot put that was either a cut below the competition weight and a cut above the competition weight. So basically all you guys need to know is if you're using a weighted implement to assist in your speed, it can't be too much heavier or too much lighter than what it is you are trying to, that you are using and are trying to improve your performance with. Again, purpose versus function. Another Hey everybody, I apologize for that bad edit there. I stopped recording in the middle of my point. So back to purpose versus function. That's a real important distinction. One that's always used, again, as functional training is standing on, say, either a wobble board or an AirX pad, which is unstable surface. Okay, that's supposed to be the equivalent of playing on a wet field, which is, as someone who's coached multiple field sports from the youth to the Division I level and at all points in between, it's a ludicrous assertion that standing on an AirX pad and having someone throw a medicine ball back at you is equivalent or is going to help somebody in the manner that would help play on a wet field. Just It's wrong from every point of argument. And I'll give you two. One, you're standing still. Two, the speed at which you need to maintain control. Those are two things flat out that remove it from any purpose that is going to matter and make it, that makes it inefficient and ineffective. So remember, you don't need to know anything else about a program. You know, get away from the concept of this soup to nuts, A to Z, any other analogy you want to use to represent a program that has to encompass everything you do. If you have those eight purposeful elements in your arsenal, so to speak, and use them every workout that you're in, and then as you get good and better, and as you improve, you add speed, you'll be doing anything you need to do, both with weights, without weights, body weight, in your warm-up, in your prep. One of the last things I'll leave you with. Now, the concept of microdosing can have a negative connotation. It's used for high-level athletes or any level athlete to dope and get away with it and kind of trick the test, so to speak. Concept is small doses over time add up, improve your performance, but don't necessarily get you flagged on a drug test. I use it in a positive sense. Microdosing, what I use in my warm-up, which I never use the word warm-up anymore when I'm speaking to a new group, I use the term preparation because a lot of coaches are hesitant to take time away from their practice to do things. So my concept is I microdose these purposeful movements in a warm-up so that, say, you do 6 minutes and you do that in five practices a week, which is 30 minutes a week, and your season is 12 weeks. That is a lot of purposeful work. That's a lot of high quality work that you've, quote, snuck in to the normal routine, which is going to serve to improve whether it's your training session or your child's practice or your child's performance in a sport, right? So I'm leaving you, that's a lot today. I'll leave you with that. Remember, it's the eight purposeful elements: squat, lunge, push, pull, bend, reach, rotate, and brace. With proficiency comes speed, and it's purposeful versus a term that's lost meaning of functional. All right, thanks a lot. Again, thank you for listening. I see the numbers. I appreciate that you're listening, and I also appreciate the feedback. Have a great day, and we'll talk soon.